From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Patterson, California.
I live in Richmond.
I live in Daly City, top of the hill, Daly City.
Noe Valley.
San Francisco, Outer Mission.
I live in San Pablo, California.
Coming up, how a local man refuses to let Parkinson's disease get in the way of living his life.
When I'm racked by the profound limitations of this shaking body, and watch a day slip by and see how much I could get done. It really weighs on me more.
Then a son copes with his father's Parkinson's with the help of a unique musical instrument.
When I play the halo, there are certain times and I'm just playing this rhythm over and over again. Everything around me kind of just fades away.
Inspirational ways to deal with disease today on Cross Currents.
Well, I'm dancing to the rhythm of life, rolling along without any strife, and I'm joyful in the face of pain, gallantly singing in the rain.
This is Ben Rivers. He's been living with Parkinson's disease since 2001.
Well, I'm shaking with Parkinson's disease. My limbs flutter like the leaves in the trees, random and restless as the wind on the seas. I'm shaking to the rhythm of Parkinson's disease. Shaking to the rhythm.
An estimated 50 to 60,000 Americans a year are diagnosed with the condition, which can be tremendously debilitating. Neurons in the brain gradually die off, taking with them a brain chemical called dopamine that's critical for movement. For nearly 3 years, KALW's Judy Silber followed Ben Rivers through his odyssey with Parkinson's. She brings us this story about his struggles and his determination to live a meaningful life.
Most of us take for granted the small movements of our days. We pick up a glass of water, eat, lie down at night, and in the morning rise up again, all with relatively little thought or effort. Not so for Ben Rivers. I met him in 2011. He was 41 years old, and he had Parkinson's disease.
I'm standing, holding a pot of soup, twitching from my meds, trying not to drop the soup or splash it.
I'm with Ben in the kitchen of his modestly furnished Berkeley apartment.
And I'm standing because I have better movement ability when I, with my arms, when I am, my body's engaged vertically.
His body often flails about like a dancing puppet, only not so gracefully. He also has a hard time speaking and can't play the piano for very long, which is one of his favorite things to do. Medication helps, but it's far from a perfect solution.
This is a typical experience of my days. The challenges of taking care of myself.
Parkinson's is one of those diseases for which there is no cure.
I'm turning 42 next month, and that's given me a feeling of the depth of this, the permanence of it.
Signs of Parkinson's disease don't usually appear until around age 60, but occasionally patients develop a young onset form. The actor Michael J. Fox, for example, was only 29. Ben was 31 when his first symptoms showed up. It was spring of 2001, and he was about to take a long trip to Asia. He was looking for adventure and to test himself without the support of family or friends. Just before leaving, Ben's left hand started shaking. His shoulders locked up. Despite the signs that something was wrong, he got on a plane. In Thailand, over the next several months, his condition grew worse. By December, both hands were shaking. His face froze into one expression. His feet shuffled as he walked. A doctor diagnosed Parkinson's disease, but Ben didn't believe it. He now admits that maybe he should have gone home. But he didn't. He was determined to make it on his own.
Well, the thing about Ben is that he always did things with maximum effort, like 200%. Like when he trained to run, he didn't train to run for a marathon. He trained to run for the 100-mile run.
That's his mom, Yeti Beckwith.
And he was exhilarated, but he would overdo it too, and he hurt his knees because he didn't have all of the knowledge about how to train that way.
In Thailand, Ben would wake in the mornings, his body stiff. Just to move, he applied the intensity he'd once used in extreme sports.
First, a little wiggle in my hands. This is what I had to do to initiate movement.
Then, forcing his hands to clap together.
Then I start to kick and flail my legs.
And finally,
since I can't push off with my hands,
working his way out of bed
into a standing position, I slip on my sandals and then, forcing my right hand to raise, I close my fingers around my bag and head downstairs and begin the process of shaving.
Ben was forced to slow down. Through most of his 20s, he had meditated a lot, attending 10-day silent retreats and often waking before dawn to sit for an hour or two. In Thailand, he says, his affliction awakened him spiritually. He became a keen observer of himself and the world around him.
I really enjoyed the sensations. Sensations of the newness of it, the sensations of the cultural things in the market, the foods, the smells, the colors. Incredible feeling of aliveness.
But physically, he wasn't getting better. In 2005, he finally admitted that he needed medical help. He came home. By then, his whole body had stiffened. He mumbled while talking, and he could barely use his hands.
He came back with, as Ben always has, ideas.
Ben wanted to find a cure. He and his mom consulted doctors and alternative healers.
Well, I wanted to do whatever I had to.
We went down to Tijuana and to some of these clinics.
Clinics that would work with me.
Got some good information, but it didn't seem really right to stay there and do any of the treatments.
Saw Lyme doctors.
He thought he might have Lyme disease, which can also cause neurological problems.
I had a classical homeopathic friend in San Diego. So after we were in Mexico, we went to visit with her.
A neurologist.
And that friend knew of someone with one of these New Age pyramid schemes or something somewhere down there.
First year back, I was empowered, idealistic, driven.
It was insane.
And then I settled into a routine. And that wasn't good.
The finality of his condition set in. There was no cure. Unable to care for himself, Ben hired help through a state program called In-Home Supportive Services. One of his caregivers was Robert Hennis.
When he first hired me, when I interviewed for the job, he was catatonic. I mean, more like physically frozen.
It was 2010.
He could not sit down or get up on his own. There was no talking, really. His face was completely frozen, no expression. He was basically a human statue that blinked at you. He literally communicated by blinking.
This is the normal progression of Parkinson's without medication. But Ben was still in denial that he had the disease. His caregivers finally forced the issue.
He was that miserable. He was in that much pain. He was that helpless without the drugs. And yeah, I mean, I begged him to do it. His other caregivers were like, you got to do this. And finally, he's like, everything else I've tried is not working. Why not try this, you know? And so, yeah, then we took the dopamine.
He took Sinemet, the standard drug for Parkinson's. It helps deliver dopamine, a vital brain chemical, which is low in Parkinson's patients.
And it was like that. It was that fast, like the changes in him, just taking the dopamine.
This was 2011, the year I first met him, and a full decade after his first symptoms had appeared.
I'm standing, holding a pot of soup, twitching from my meds.
Ben could now get out of bed, walk to the farmer's market, go to a movie if he liked. But looking at him, you knew something was terribly wrong. One time, we ran into each other at a cafe. This man with a frozen expression on top of a pole-thin frame rocked back and forth as he tried to hold a normal conversation. To steady himself, he pushed hard against a table. When he walked away, the waitress made the sign of a cross. As bad as it was, Ben felt the medication was giving him a second chance.
When I'm racked by the profound limitations of this shaking body and watch a day slip by and see how much I could get done, it really weighs on me more. And because there's so much more possibility here, there's that much more drive and urgency to get my music done, to get my writing done, to build social connections, to come out of isolation, to travel, to expand, to grow, to... get beyond, to have a life, a rich, meaningful life.
In the summer of 2012, Ben audited a music class at UC Berkeley. In the fall, he composed this piece that students performed as part of a small concert. Over the next year, he audited music classes almost full-time. He found a doctor who helped with digestive issues. And he worked with caregivers on medication doses. His condition has improved remarkably. He still shakes. That's a side effect from the medication. His fingers freeze up sometimes. But overall, he looks and feels much better.
I was shaking around in my apartment one day, and I said out to myself, this Parkinson's thing is kind of a drag, and goes on and on and on, so I think I'll have some fun with it. Well, I'm shaking with Parkinson's disease. My limbs flutter like the leaves in the trees, random and restless as the wind on the seas. I'm shaking to the rhythm of Parkinson's disease.
The Parkinson's isn't gone. The disease will progress, and eventually the medications won't work as well. But Ben is hopeful he has a few more decades. And by then, there could be a cure. For now, anyway, he's living.
Act with calm inspiration. I ride and shake, twist around, shake my feet all over the ground, twist around but never shout. Squeeze my voice to get the words out.
For Cross Currents, I'm Judy Silber.
Well, I'm dancing to the rhythm of life, rolling along without any strife, and I'm joyful in the face of pain, gallantly singing in the rain. Don't let this frozen face deceive, I'm more mischievous than you believe. Yeah, this blank exterior hides a depth of humor and surprise. Who is this strange strummer that has me dancing to the beat of a different drummer? It's a strange rhythm, ain't got no direction, yet I will ride the flow without dejection. Well, I'm sensing liberation from my own internal frustration. No, I won't get flabbergasted. My patience will outlast it. Well, I'm shaking with Parkinson's disease. My limbs flutter like the leaves in the trees, random and restless as the wind on the seas. I'm shaking to the rhythm of Parkinson's disease. Shaking to the rhythm of Parkinson's disease. Shaking to the rhythm of Parkinson's disease.
You You can find more about Ben and listen to his music at kalw.org. Click on Cross Currents. Parkinson's disease doesn't only affect the afflicted, it becomes part of the lives of the people around them, too. Kevin Chiara dropped out of school to spend 8 years caring for his father, who was diagnosed with Parkinson's. To cope with his dad's death, Chiara learned how to play an instrument called a halo, a steel drum with a gentle sound, and he began performing in public spaces in Berkeley.
My name's Kevin Chiara, and I'm from El Sobrante, California. I play an instrument called the halo, and the halo is basically a steel drum. The basic shape is, if you could picture, it's convex, and picture two of those shells stacked on top of each other, bottom to bottom. You have that, it basically looks like a UFO. What I love about the instrument is that when you're playing it, you're connected with it because it's sitting on your lap. When you're touching the metal with your hands and then you're hitting the steel, the vibrations are going straight down and you can feel it through your body. Basically, when you play a note, it activates other notes. It activates their harmonics. So when you start really playing it, you just get this singing bowl, and that's kind of what it was designed after too, the Tibetan singing bowls. It takes, I think, about 250,000 hammer hits to create one. Basically, they're like a sculptor chiseling away at, you know, a statue. Just hammering, 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 hammering. For me, every time I play it, I come to a state of peaceful consciousness. For the past 8 years, I was taking care of my dad, who had Parkinson's. And basically, just went from him needing a walking stick, and then needing crutches, and then basically being pushed in a wheelchair. And then from that to going around in an electric wheelchair, and then from that to being bedridden. I stayed home. I kind of put my life on pause. And I was stopped going to school and basically stayed home with him 24/7, taking care of him. And that's a big reason why I want to help people, is just seeing how debilitating that disease was for him and how helpless he was. I play with the picture that I have of me and him together, and I basically put that on the front of my halo while I'm playing, so to give me some inspiration and also to feel like I'm being watched over. When I play the halo, there are certain times and I'm just playing this rhythm over and over again, everything around me kind of just fades away, kind of just have the ability to forget about certain things, and really puts my mind in a peaceful place. I tend to play at places that are very serene and have a very tranquil feel to them. The Rose Garden, you hear water running down the hill, and just smells great here too. When you're at the top, you can see a good portion of the bay. During sunset, which is when I usually play. Sun's coming down, it starts to shine and across the bay and also up into the sky. So sometimes you get these beautiful, vibrant colors, and that's what I really love about playing during sunset. has this iridescent, I guess, blue and purple, depending on the light of the sun. When the sun's on it, it can change from blue to purple to green to pink. It has this way of affecting people on an emotional level. I've had countless people come up to me and just say, thank you. You can't pay for those things. Yeah, if I can help people with this somehow, that will fulfill my life.
That story of Kevin Chiara and his halo was produced by Louisa Beck. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. And now something a little special from our newsroom. For many of those who celebrate the holiday, hanging Christmas stockings is a part of their tradition. Well, different kind of socks are a big part of our radio tradition here. KLW sound engineer Seth Samuel can explain.
As one of the Cross Currents engineers, I'm the one in charge of recording our reporters and hosts.
For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.
For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
For Cross Currents, I'm Ben Trefney.
For Cross Currents, I'm Judy Silber.
So yeah, I recorded all of those. And just so you know, those are called socks, standard out cues, socks. When I'm recording people, I need to make sure their voices are coming through loud and clear. And to do that, I need to ask them something. So one month, I asked people, what is your favorite pair of socks? The foot kind. This is what I learned.
Sock, 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 sock.
My favorite pair of socks is purple.
Oh yeah, the socks are deep purple.
Purple, of course, and fuzzy.
Fuzzy old lady slippers that my stepmom gave me that are basically like fuzzy, big fuzzy socks.
Socks, 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 socks.
Boots, socks.
And they have like little musical bells on them. And they kind of, you know, twinkle as I walk. And that is my absolute favorite.
Pair of socks are cashmere and they're blue stuffed animal slipper socks.
Sock, sock, sock,
sock,
sock, sock, sock, sock, sock, sock, sock. The Hanes anklet sock socks.
Which are nice because they're comfortable and they're new. I usually have pretty plain, you know, just blue and black
flip-flops. I'm wearing flip-flops and no socks.
All knit for me by
some Estonian woman
who you all know. And she knit me up three pairs of socks, and she sent them to me in a box and didn't tell me the box was coming.
And they're somewhat thick, and they're colorful.
Colorful. Well, two of them are very stripey, and one of them is just solid colored. But they are mix and matchable.
And they're so soft.
Socks, 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 socks.
Big fuzzy socks,
socks,
socks.
Sometimes I sleep in them. I have one more thing to say about socks.
The year was 2005, and I had this buddy who went to Estonia. This is a true story.
True story.
Socks, socks,
socks,
socks,
socks, socks.
Boots. Mihaim boots.
I don't know why he went to Estonia, but he did. And upon his return, he brought back this pair of socks.
There are four socks total. On two of the socks,
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 are R2-D2, and two of the other socks.
And I have them still. They are extremely thick. They have shrunk, though, throughout the years.
And they go all the way up to my knee, which I really enjoy.
And I don't wear shoes that need socks. I don't like socks.
I don't like socks.
I don't like socks.
I do like socks.
I don't like socks. I don't like socks.
Tell me about your favorite pair of socks.
No, really, we'd love to hear from you. So email us at news@kalw.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter @KALW or pick up the phone and call us, 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Because of you, we can proudly say we are listener-supported public radio. Our team includes Jeremy Dalmas, Leela Day, Jack Detch, Sandhya Dirks, Rachel Dornhelm, Marcy Fraser, Nina Gensler-Debs, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Alexis Lunatoris, Ted Muldoon, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. The line producer was Audrey Dilling. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.
A pair of green socks, and the reason I like them is because they're stylish.